Good morning. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I CRS. The time is 10:05. The date is Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. We are meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. Title Setting Board today consists of myself, Suzanne Steyer, Deputy Secretary of State, on behalf of Secretary of State Wayne Williams, Melanie Snyder, Deputy Attorney General, on behalf of Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman, and Jason Gallander, designee of Office of Legislative Legal Services. There are two titles for each measure that we are going to set today. Changes adopted by the title board to the first title in the staff draft will be considered adopted for the other title. For anyone who wishes to testify, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's website, and public restrooms are located on this floor. When the title board considers a proposed initiative for the first time, the board will follow three steps. First, board members may wish to ask questions of the proponents. This is to ensure that the board understands the proposal. Second, the board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. In particular, the board must determine if the measure complies with the single subject rule prescribed in Article 5, Section 1, 5.5 of the Colorado Constitution, and Section 1-40-106.5 Colorado Revised Statutes. This is because the board is prohibited from setting a title for a measure that contains more than one subject. If the measure is a constitutional change, the board will consider under CRS 140-10635 whether the measure only repeals in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution. If the board determines it has jurisdiction to set a title, then the board will use a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes. A copy of the staff draft is on the table. Generally, we take all testimony first, then the board will discuss and vote after all testimony has been completed. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board. Please take note, we are not concerned with the merits of any proposal here. We are only concerned with the setting of title. Furthermore, we are not concerned with legal or constitutional objections to the measures, except to the extent that such objections relate to the jurisdiction of the board and to set titles or to the correctness of the titles and summaries themselves. Anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the title board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days. First item on the agenda is Initiative 2017-2018, number 94, severance taxes on oil and gas. If the proponents could come forward and identify yourselves.
Andrew J. O'Connor.
Mary Henry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you just start out today by telling us what you believe the single subject of your title is?
It's a severance tax on oil and gas.
Okay. And we've been through some various versions of this. Can you just maybe let us know what you view as the changes from your prior submittals?
Well, last time we were here, and I was hoping that there was going to be a state patrol here because we, as you know, got some, I got a death threat from Jason Dunn, who was the attorney for oil and gas, but I don't see anybody here. I was hoping there was going to be state patrol here. Anyway, be that as it may, last time we were here, there was a objection to raised by Mr. Dunn in regard to the single subject requirement. And I didn't think there was a problem with the single subject, but I deleted the language in question. So that's the change that was made.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board on single subject?
No.
To make a motion?
Sure.
Well, let me ask, is there anybody signed up to speak on this? No? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I was not here for the rehearing last time, but for the record, I have listened to the tape and I'm familiar with the issues there. And I do think that it sounds like the members of the title board sitting then found no single subject due to this provision that in some way or another appear to address local debrucing. That language has been removed. I don't believe there are any other grounds stated by the board then for not setting a title. So I would move that we find the proposed initiative 2017-18 number 94, severance taxes on oil and gas, has a single subject and that the board has jurisdiction to set a title.
And second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So we will move to the title. And have you had a chance to review that, the staff draft, Mr. O'Connor?
I just got it this morning.
Staff draft?
And I haven't looked at the, no, I haven't had a chance to review it.
The staff draft was sent previously. What you received this morning was the fiscal impact, just for the record.
The staff draft is what you see on the screen here?
Yeah, I did read that. I'm sorry, I thought you were referring to something else.
No, I'm referring to the language that we would set in the question. Did you have a chance to review the
yes.
language? And do you have any comments on
I don't.
The staff draft? Okay. And is there anyone here who wishes to speak on the draft? No. Okay. You can go ahead and have a seat. Any other questions of the proponent?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Thanks. You can go ahead and have a seat. So discussion on the draft. I did look back at the question we set, number 70, which was last year. Were you here last year on this one?
I was here for 70. For the hearing, but not the rehearing.
Okay, so for 70, which was pretty similar, we set pretty different language the time that we did the initial hearing. And so I went through and did, well, Steve actually went through and did a strike through for us of what we got from the staff draft this time and what 70 looked like. So I don't know if either of you are interested in looking at it, but it was pretty different.
So what I placed on the board right now is what was set for number 70 previously, not the staff draft for 94. I do have access to the staff draft of 94, and I can get that red line that I sent you up there as well, if the board would like to see that.
So I just don't know what we should start with. What do you think?
I've looked at both of these as well, and I would suggest that we start with what we set for 70.
Okay. All right. Mr. O'Connor, do you remember what we set for 70? That was last year.
I don't.
Okay. Do you have any? I mean, I don't recall you having a lot of objections to the way we changed the language around last year, but if you have a comment, feel free to come back up. But I think we're going to start with where we were last year. Okay. All right.
I think based on what we had last year, there are only two changes that we need to make. The first one is just the number, the latest economic forecast. Severance tax revenues tend to be quite volatile and has changed quite a lot. I believe the correct number for the blank is now $307 million. And the fiscal analysts are here and nodding their heads in the affirmative. So.
And Mr. O'Connor, did you have any comment on the fiscal impact statement?
No, only to say that I felt that they did a good job on it. We're on the record. So
sorry, if you can just come back up.
No, other than I felt like they did a good job in revising it with the new numbers.
Okay. And just for the record, you don't have any objections or comments to this language that we're working on?
No, not okay. to the new numbers. Is that what you're talking about?
Well,
or the language?
Yeah,
no,
the language.
I don't.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Sure. And again, if you do, feel free to come up. All right.
The only other thing that I think we have to do is on line, well, I guess the lines aren't numbered, but yeah, it's not. Wherever it talks about state and local government spending limits, I think we just change, so line 8, I think we just say the state, either the state or state. Either state fiscal year spending limits, or probably you can just say the state fiscal year spending limit.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, come on up.
So I did have a comment in regard to what you just said, and I just wanted to reiterate that there is no debrucing ramifications here, nor is Tabor relevant. And I know that was something that was mentioned last time at the motion for rehearing. And I believe that the changes that you're making and the changes that I made completely eradicate that argument. So again, I wanted to say debrucing is not here and neither is Tabor relevant.
Well, not at the local level, right? You're still allowing the state to keep all the additional revenue.
Yes,
above the cap.
Right, but I'm just talking about the argument that was made last time about debrucing is what I'm addressing right now.
Right, but that's the local level, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I believe what we've just done is taken out the reference to that local level debrucing, but we have to keep the state in because the measure still does exempt the revenue at the state level.
Right. What I think you did is you just deleted the language that kind of caused the objection last time.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, sir. As far as I'm concerned, I think that's all we have to do. I had read the motions for rehearing last night. I think we can probably save it. I'm assuming that they'll be back again if we want to. You know, there were a couple of language suggestions in that might be worthwhile, but I don't think the people who made that are here now,
right.
And I'm sure they will be here next time. So I think we're, from my perspective, I think we're set.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything else?
No, okay. I agree.
All right. You want to make a motion?
Sure. Do you want to read it?
Oh, sure. That'd be a good idea. All right. So it reads, state taxes shall be increased $307 million annually by a change to the Colorado revised statutes concerning the severance tax on oil and gas extracted in the state, and in connection therewith increasing the severance tax rates by 5 percentage points, eliminating a credit against the severance tax based on property taxes paid by producers, reducing the maximum amount of oil and gas that a severance tax exempt well may produce without all production from the well becoming taxable, exempting the severance tax revenue and related investment income from the state fiscal year spending limits, requiring 44% of the severance tax revenue to be credited in equal shares to the severance tax trust fund and the local government severance tax fund, and 56% of the severance tax revenue to be spent in equal shares for the purposes of providing all-day kindergarten and public school funding and providing medical care and treatment to people suffering negative health impacts proximately caused by oil and gas production.
Great. I would move that the board set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18, number 94, as it now appears on the screen and has just been read.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That takes us to initiative 2017-2018. Oh, sorry.
We do the 67, 68, 69.
Oh, right. Thing. Okay. We're going to do ratification. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Ratification of the title board's participation in the appeal of 2017-2018, number 83. You want to make the motion?
Well, Julie's got 83, so we can do the other ones, actually.
Oh, I don't see them on here. Which ones?
The side ones. 60.
Oh, okay. We're going to do 60. Oh, I don't know. We're going to do 67, 68, 69, and 70, ratification of the title board's non-participation in the appeals. Okay. Do you want to make a motion?
Sure. Do we want to give any explanation of this? Sort of as to what happened and how we're here. Do you want me to just make the motion?
You can if you like. Up to you.
So for the record and for the audience, what's happened here is that the title board now does not, when measures are appealed or decisions on measures are appealed to the Colorado Supreme Court, we do not necessarily file briefs in all situations and make those determinations on sort of a case-by-case basis. On these particular initiatives, different title board members sat initially and had chosen not to file briefs, but then at a meeting, the title board with other members didn't know that that had happened and chose to participate. And in fact, we're going back to the original decision. So essentially, it's a reconsideration of what we did last time. And the motion is that the title board not participate in briefing on proposed initiatives 67, 68, 69, and 70.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Okay. Should we do the other one just to get it out of the way?
Okay. And Julie has to do that one, though.
And then she's doing the rest anyway, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the next one is the ratification of the title board's participation in appeal of 2017-2018, number 83. And I was not in favor of appealing this, so I will defer to someone else to make the motion.
Julie Pellegrin Deputy Director for the Office of Legislative Legal Services. I move that the board ratify the previous decision to file an appeal brief with regard to the appeal of 2017-18, number 83.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. All right, that takes us to Measure 2017-2018, number 86, funding for public schools.
Morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Ramey.
Ed Ramey, counsel for the proponents. Both of the designated representatives of the proponents are here, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Donald Anderson, proponent.
Martha Olson, proponent.
And Mr. Ramey, if we could just start out, if you could tell us, I guess why don't you just let us know, even though I think we already know, what you changed from your last submittal to this one.
Sure. The primary changes, all of these measures are quite similar today. They have different numbers in them and different provisions regarding Gallagher, for example, appear in some, don't appear in others, and so forth, but they're very similar. We had some difficulty last time. The board did not set title on several measures due to single subject concerns. That appeared in what was then paragraph B, and actually still is paragraph, subparagraph B of section one of each of these measures, and also a subparagraph D that appeared in those measures at that time. The provision in subparagraph B provided that in addition to the monies that we were dedicating to the new fund that we're creating, the legislature or the people could deposit or dedicate any other monies they wished into the fund. And then we had a debrucing measure as subparagraph D with regard to all these monies. And the board raised the concern that that was a single subject because we were any monies from any sources could be placed in this fund and deemed debruced. So both the sentence that permitted the dedication of additional monies other than the ones that we're dedicating in subparagraph B is gone, and the former subparagraph D, which was a debrucing measure, is gone. There is still a debrucing measure at the end of this measure, which is statutory, dealing with our particular revenues we're generating from our particular tax increments, proposed tax increments. But that was done directly to address the board's concern. Other than that, each of these measures are various permutations. We kind of walk through them as we go. We have basically two alternative sets of brackets. And obviously, we're trying to figure out what's optimal. We're not going to run multiple measures, but trying to figure out what's optimal. Two sets of brackets. We have some without a corporate tax increment. Most of them have it, and then we have various measures with a Gallagher freeze at one level or another, either in or not addressed at all. All of similar things appeared in the former measures.
Okay. Is there anybody else here signed up to speak on single subject? No? I think that satisfied my concerns about single subject. I don't know if there's other questions from the board on single subject.
I don't have any. Not for me.
Then does someone want to make a motion?
I would move that Measure 2017-2018, number 86, we find that it has a single subject and can proceed to set the title. Board has jurisdiction to set title.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, let's do the50 or 55%. Mr. Ramey, do you have any comment on whether this is merely a repeal or whether it adds language to the Constitution?
Oh, this is a 55%.
Okay.
I'd like to characterize it otherwise, but I can't with a straight face.
All right. So then if someone wants to make a motion under CRS 140-106-3.5.
I move that the board finds that the initiative adds language to the Constitution and is not simply a repeal and therefore requires 55%.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. So that takes us to title. So, Mr. Ramey, do you have comments on the staff draft?
Well, we have just seen it, and I do have a number.
Okay.
And I guess I'll begin at the top. We do have the blank about the tax increase and the fiscal statements just arrived this morning. I don't know how the board wishes to address.
Do you have any objection or comment on the fiscal impact?
I don't think we have any objection for purposes of today's hearing, and we've just seen these.
Okay.
The numbers look close. So we're probably happy with the numbers as they were presented. If not, I guess we could address it in a rehearing.
Okay.
But that is absent right now. Okay, I'm going to try to keep mine straight. Starting with 86. If we go down to line. Okay, on lines 10 to 11, there is the language creating the Quality Public Education Fund. I love the name of the fund, and I'd love to see it in the title, but I do have a fear that that's arguably a catchphrase. And I go back to a very old case. I'll just lay it out right now because it was my case 1,000 years ago. Where some language appeared in a measure that had to do with English language education, and the language in the measure itself was to the purpose of the measure was to teach students to learn to speak English in Colorado schools as rapidly and effectively as possible. And the phrase, as rapidly and effectively as possible, which was very much a, I'm sure, at least the arguable purpose of the measure, it was not our measure, it was somebody else's, was deemed by the, not by the title board initially, but by the Supreme Court to be a catchphrase. So I'm very sensitive, since I'm the guy that brought that argument, I'm ultra sensitive to the concerns that nice language, even in the name of a fund or as a statement of purpose that appears in the text of the measure if transposed to the title, is susceptible to an argument that may or may not prevail, but certainly would generate the argument that it's a catchphrase. So what I would request the board to do is simply state creating an education fund, or a public education fund, we could do that, but that word quality, I would request come out for that purpose.
What about combining, instead of saying creating a fund, just saying requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited into a dedicated education fund or something like that?
That would be absolutely fine.
Then we can get rid of some words.
I guess we can not actually use the name of the fund, but if it's the name of the fund, it's the name of the fund, is kind of the way I look at it.
Right.
It's not a catchphrase. It's what you've called the fund. I understand your concern about it, but I do think because that fund is dedicated for certain purposes, I do think it helps to say that it's the fund to provide money to improve the quality of preschool through high school public education equitably throughout the state. Because I think that's also, again, and maybe, I don't know if equitably throughout the state is getting into catchphrase, but that's the intent of the measure.
Well, you're jumping ahead, actually, to language that I was about to address and hadn't gotten to yet.
Right, and but that's what I would combine, in terms of.
Well, I mean, I'll alert the board that I'm going to have concerns with those measures as well, because the prior Supreme Court precedent did, in fact, parrot a statement of purpose that the proponents of that measure had. But in so doing, if the statement of purpose could be deemed to be argumentative in nature, or I guess probably the best way to put it, argumentative in nature, the court deemed it a catchphrase, and I think we would just simply prefer not to go there. So, you know, even though it is the name of the fund, and even though we have, let me just jump ahead, and I can address the other concerns, because I can see the board maybe heading in that direction. The phrase on line 13, monies from the fund to school districts to improve, support, and enhance the quality of early childhood education poses pretty much the same problem. And a down on line 15, 16, declaring a more sustainable, fair, and adequate system for funding is necessary. We are declaring that, just as they did in the English language case. And I think there was a point where equitable turned up later on where I was concerned as well. But that's the problem with those words. Even when they're in the measure, even when they are accurately reflecting the statement of purpose, even when they accurately reflect the name of the fund, which itself reflects a statement of purpose, the state Supreme Court at one point in our history, 20 years ago, albeit, but still, said, yeah, you put that in a title, you're dealing with a catchphrase. And I just don't want to have that argument, because I know I will, if that language is in there. So I guess, I mean, I don't know if you want to go back to, Madam Chair, what you just suggested with regard to the first point, the name of the fund, I think addresses that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say a dedicated education fund, and then
I think that's fine.
You know, the name of it or repeating the name of it. I mean, I had issues with the putting a declaration in there, you know, the line 15 and 16 part that you had. I thought that was problematic. I actually thought that was more problematic than what we have in 13, 14, and 15, because at least 13, 14, and 15 are somewhat measurable, whereas sustainable, fair, and adequate was really just a statement of purpose and not measurable. So, I mean, I'm willing to work on maybe some better language in the others, but I think we should strike that 15 and 16 declaration.
I'd agree.
I agree.
So we would take out declaring that a more sustainable, fair, and
adequate
system for funding public schools is necessary. I would agree with
that. Yeah, and then more concentrate on what you think is measurable in lines 13 through 15, maybe some things that are measurable but not catchphrase measurable. So I don't know, you know, how maybe we could reword some of that. I think it's important to have something about the equity, and maybe equitable isn't the right word, but I do think it's important to indicate that the measure is spreading out the funding throughout the state, because I think that's something important to the voters.
I would suggest that we start a deletion on line 13 with the language to improve, support, and enhance, and continue it all the way through equitable basis. I want to think about this for a minute, since we just got this language. But if we did that, it would read requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts throughout the state.
Can I suggest, I think that might be taking out too much. Because I think it's helpful to say that it's to support. I mean, we take out improve, take out enhance the quality of. But it is being directed to support early childhood, primary, and secondary public school education, although I'd change secondary to high school.
I would I think I would go with that.
And I'm not troubled by leaving in on an equitable basis throughout the state.
I think we would be okay, I think, with it on an equitable basis as well. I think, Ms. Pellegrin, we would be where you are on this, because it's hard to view that language, I think, as a catchphrase. supporting local districts on an equitable basis is, I think, works. The far more troublesome language is improving, enhancing quality, that sort of thing.
I mean, I think if somebody wants to come in and argue that it's not equitable, that's something that I would be willing to entertain. But I think the word equitable is not suggesting an answer. I mean, there may be voters out there who,
I would agree,
who, you know, think all the money should be in the metro area, and they don't want to equitably spread. You know, I mean, it's not a catchphrase, because not everybody is going to be hooked in by that being an amazing idea necessarily. So, I mean, if someone wants to come in and argue that it's not, then I think I'd be inclined to listen to that more than I would equitable being a catchphrase.
I would agree with that, Madam Chair. I think that's workable.
All right. So, I wanted to have a conversation about 18 through 24.
Can I back up step before we get there?
You bet.
And this is actually not a catchphrase concern. On line 16, states requiring the legislature to enact the new public school finance law. I don't think we can, and we're not requiring the legislature to do anything. What we're establishing is some interim uses of the money until they do, and we state our wish and purpose and intent that they do, but we're certainly not requiring.
Well, it says shall, but I think you're right. You can't make them do it.
So, I mean, we're encouraging them to do it, maybe replacing requiring with encouraging. That's just an accuracy point.
To say it's the people's intent that they shall.
All right.
Is that an encouragement, or is that a direction? Or
well, I mean, you can't make them.
Right. But maybe it's directing them to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Directing the legislature to enact. I think that would work.
Yeah, I like that better.
So after that,
okay,
do you think we need to I mean, I think typically when it's an interim type thing, we would say establishing standards for the interim, you know, until that happens. Mm-hmm. But if we think that there's a chance that might never happen, I guess, do we need to be more specific, or could we cut this down to, you know, something more general about and just telling the voters, if you're interested in what's going to happen in the interim, go look at the measure or read the blue book? I don't know. Usually we don't, with such specificity, talk about what's going to happen in an interim period.
No, I would agree, Madam Chair. I mean, from here on, it sort of ticks through every item. I'd love to see it squeezed down just for the sake of brevity and conciseness in the title. I suppose if I could always say you're entitled to know the interim uses, but these are certainly intended, as you say, to be interim uses of the money placed in the fund.
What if on 19, after appropriated, we put in appropriated for special or for specified educational programs and purposes, and then strike everything down through the end of the semicolon on 24?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we would typically have it read. I just don't know if you think, Mr. Ramey, that we need to be more specific.
I think from the proponent's perspective, we'd be happy with that. If somebody has a concern, they can come in and raise it. We can put it all back in, I guess. But I think that comports with my experience with the board's usual practice.
Okay. Do you want to talk about this public school issue at all, or are you good with that language?
Talk about the public school issue.
Well, I don't know. There was some discussion about it at review and comment.
Oh. That the funds are intended to be, the funds that are raised through this, the tax increments are deposited into the new fund are anticipated and intended to be used exclusively for the public schools, public school programs.
Are they required to only be, that's the question.
Yeah, that's how it is set up, to be required to be used in the public schools with the one exception, and that is individualized education programs for students with disabilities under the federal law.
All right, then do you think we could...
Vouchers would not be an appropriate use.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we get rid of the next clause, maybe? I mean, if we say it's only for public schools, then isn't it obvious that it's going to supplement public education? I don't know.
Where are you?
If you read that in conjunction with what's on line 26 and 27, it seems a bit repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, though, that what we're trying to say is you can use the money in the fund only for public schools unless it's necessary to use it for a private school for a kid with a disability.
Yeah, but then on line 26, we then say supplementing general fund appropriations for public education. That's the part I'm saying. Is that
no,
a bit?
I think actually that part is important, and I would expand that, only reword it so that what we're saying is that what you're really doing is requiring the General Assembly to requiring general fund appropriations for public education to, I'm sorry, prohibiting the General Assembly from using money in the fund to replace existing general fund appropriations for public education and requiring those general fund appropriations to increase by inflation up to 5% every year. So that's a supplement, not supplant provision.
Can we get rid of
that's correct.
Requiring money to only support public schools? I mean, if the appropriations are only to supplement general fund appropriations for public education, then isn't that only public schools? No?
It's a nuance because now when a school district gets the money, once they get their money, they can contract with private schools to provide the basically public school services. So it's my understanding that by saying it can only be used for public schools is that they could not contract with a private school to do that.
Well, I don't think voters are going to understand that nuance from this sentence. I mean, I didn't.
Well, Ms. Pellegrin is correct that this is a supplement. It was intended. I think what this is reflecting in the measure. We didn't obviously draft the title language, but reflected in the measure is a supplement, not supplant provision. It's worded a little strangely.
I would rewrite maybe what's there. And you're probably right. I don't know that most of the voters would read that to think, oh, no voucher programs with this money. Unless we're going to come out and say, oh, no voucher programs with this money, I'm not sure we should do. It's probably a nuance that would not be that.
So could we expand on what's on line 26 and 27 and then strike what's on line 25, basically? Or what used to be online. I don't know where it is now.
We could strike the clause that he has highlighted there.
Can we get rid of that, Mr. Ramey?
I think the accurate statement is to leave the language. I'm referring to the original draft, not what's on the board. To leave the language you just crossed out on 25 through 26. Let me consult for just a moment.
Well, I mean, my concern is just that in the very next line, we're talking about how the appropriations are going to public school. Is there a way to shorten that up? I mean, I'm trying to get your question on a page, if nothing else.
I think we could do that. Let me consult before I am implicit in changing the language.
The draft that I sent you, when you look at it without markups, is it just a page? I couldn't remember. Yeah, it gets it to a page. I had sent Stephen a draft of my thoughts on changes which does get it down to a page, because I think there's some other stuff we can be taking out too, and rewriting some stuff. So I don't know if it's helpful or not.
Sure.
That's a little different graph, so I take it off screen now to avoid confusing us all. Thanks.
I think I'm going to start speaking here, but I may be interrupted by the representatives of the proponents, which is fine. So I kind of want to get to that. What you just struck, I think, is probably an important piece of the measure.
Okay.
Well, wait, stop. Okay.
Well, because it's by federal law, that's for us, that needs to be, that part is one of the most important pieces. It's by federal law. So I guess we would allow that phrase.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me pose this. The concept that you just struck out, I think, is an important one that requires the money in the fund to only support public schools. One of the proponents' representatives just noted to me that the phrase, unless otherwise required under federal laws for a student with a disability, would be the case, would be in effect anyway. So we're just stating the law as it is, and that phrase probably could come out.
Hmm.
The next phrase, let me get this whole thought out, see kind of how the board wants to deal with this. Requiring the appropriations fund, the fund to supplement existing general fund appropriations for public education. That is, as Ms. Pelligan stated, it was the language of the measure that appears to reflect is purely a supplement, not supplant piece, period. There's
right.
Nothing, and I'm thinking that phrase can be squeezed down or put somewhere. Even if it's that important, that almost seems less important than what we just struck out. Maybe not, but.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that one in its entirety. I mean, I don't know that we even need to shrink it if you have some ideas about how to shrink it. But
So if we put back in requiring money in the fund to only support public schools, semicolon, delete otherwise unless otherwise required under federal law, blah, blah, blah. Trying to think of a shorter way to state supplement, but not supplant.
I'm concerned actually that shortening, I'm concerned that as it is, most people won't know what that even means.
Supplement, not supplant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's true. Legislature.
Yeah. I mean, I would lean towards making it a little longer so that it's clearer.
Oh.
Prohibiting the legislature from using money in the fund to replace existing general fund appropriations for public education. And I think the fact that it requires the general fund appropriations to be increased by inflation every year is important for voters to know, because it's putting a requirement on general fund.
That may answer the question then, that we do need to
Good point.
Maybe take out that unless otherwise language, which is the law anyway and really isn't affected, and then expand that next phrase, the supplement not supplant, so it is more clear.
Well, you could just say increase.
One other suggestion, okay, borrow that for a second. I don't know where this is now. That we could do, it's higher up in the measure. Steve, can you roll back up a little bit? Let me just float this suggestion. It would be line 15. After the phrase on an equitable basis throughout the state, maybe adding the phrase without supplanting general fund appropriations. Maybe put that phrase up there. I'm not sure that does it.
I just don't like the word supplant. I don't know. I prefer to use something a little more common, like increase or
without decreasing.
Without decreasing general fund appropriations.
Yeah, I would prefer to use something a little.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that too, without decreasing.
General fund appropriations.
And if we did that, the thought then we could eliminate the entire phrase, perhaps down below.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Oh, wait, don't eliminate. Yeah. Eliminate that and also
unless
everything
required.
After, everything beginning with unless up above that in line 26.
Can we move only to after support? I think that maybe shines a brighter light on what that is really saying, to support only public schools instead of only support public schools.
That would be fine.
What do you guys think about adding the part about requiring general fund appropriations to be increased or to increase by inflation up to 5% annually?
I think that could be helpful for the voters to know if that's the impact.
As long as we can get rid of requiring them to give information.
I think we can just say publicly report certain information. I think there's a way we can get rid of the last one. I think we can move that last part into the part where they create it. So I think we can get rid of the last phrase.
All right. You want to
so maybe
the read your line about the...
Yeah, at the beginning of line 29, insert requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation, comma, up to 5%, comma, annually.
Oh, I see what you
mean. Semicolon, yeah. On the next one, I think we can take out that receive money from the fund because they all do. And then publicly report certain information. Might say even report.
Can we just get rid of the Department of Education study then? Because they're going to be reporting some public information too.
Well, that's the school district's reporting. It's the department that
The school districts are already required to report that, so just, do we need to...
That's why.
Yeah.
Can we just get rid of that?
Yeah, if it's not new reporting requirements, we can get rid of them.
Yeah, they're required to put it up on their website of where money goes.
All that stuff that they're required to do. I think we can shorten the department one. Just requiring the department to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund after 5 years?
Well, within 5 years.
It's after, isn't it?
I don't know. The staff draft says within.
Well, I think it should be after. Oh, it's actually within 10 years and every 5 years thereafter. No, that's the formula. Never mind. Not that. I'm sorry. Within 5 years. Okay.
Leave it as within.
And that last one, if you go back up, scroll up to
what's happened?
Where we say we're directing them to create the, where is that part? Directing the legislature. Where is it? Oh, there it is, line 17. After an act, comma, regularly review and revise when necessary, and then get rid of the last clause. Comma, and a comma after review, too.
Is that just doubling what we're saying about within 5 years?
That's what I'm saying. Go down to the bottom and get rid of that last phrase then.
Oh.
And make it end with, get rid of that. And we need to add an and then. Yeah.
Does the when necessary leave it too open versus the specific time?
It says to regular review, and then they revise it when necessary. And based on the measure, that what tells them when is necessary.
Okay.
On line 8, 500,000 should be 550. I think that's just a typo.
Nice catch. We keep missing those two.
I have some suggestions for the first part, too. I think we can make it a little more clear. Again, I would propose that we generally change secondary to high so that, because I think most people, I'm not sure everybody thinks about secondary school the same way, whereas if you say preschool through high school.
What's our number? 1.7? Is that our number?
Yeah, I think so. Instead of creating an exception to, can we just say accepting from the requirement that all income be taxed at one rate?
I had to the current single rate state income tax.
I'm sorry, where? To the single
rate
income tax requirement?
I had just to the current single rate state income tax. I didn't do anything with creating an exception. I don't, we can change that too, but.
Yeah, and then just go over to if the funding is dedicated or if the revenue is dedicated, yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that. On, I think we can clarify the part too about the tax rates and the brackets and all, and I think it shortens it some. Increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using 4 tax brackets, starting at 3.37%. Take it, replace by creating with using. Oops, we lost our 3.7%. or 0.37, thanks. And then strike everything until you get down to and increasing to 3.87 for income above 550.
I think, Steve, when we had the requiring the revenue to be deposited in, I think we were going to say a dedicated
public education
fund down on line 10. That would say a dedicated public education fund.
And I think we could combine, instead of having allowing the state to retain and spend, instead of having that all as a standalone. I think if we said deposited in a dedicated public education fund and collected and spent as a voter approved revenue change, or collected and spent as voter approved resident. Let me think about where that would go. Requiring the revenue to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund and collected and spent as a voter-approved revenue change, or as plural, as voter-approved revenue changes.
You okay with that, Mr. Ramey? I just don't know if we typically say that. It seems like we call out the Tabor thing more specifically, but...
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Can we scroll down some, please? Thank you. On the new public school finance law to provide funding for public schools that meet specified criteria, makes it sound like the schools have to meet the specified criteria. So I think it would be, if we just say a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria, I think we can take out for public schools. That's what a public school finance law is for. On 18, do we need a the before money? I think we were using a the on other places. That doesn't.
So since we put together, since we combined the clause, so starting on line 8, when we introduce it with requiring, I'm not sure that goes with the collecting and spending.
Okay.
We don't need to, I don't think we want to say requiring, right? Isn't it more allowing, requiring the revenue?
No, well, yeah.
Collect.
We could say and allowing the revenue to be.
Or allowing the revenue collected to be spent as voter approved revenue changes.
retained and spent? We probably should get retained in there.
Yeah, I think that's
to be retained and spent as voter approved. The good news is once we get this perfect, it's easy sailing from there on.
Can I throw another bug on the table? This is, I guess, my own interpretation, but it's just been verified that I'm not alone in this. On line 12, to support early childhood primary and high school public.
Oh, yeah, take out school.
High school public school education. So you could take the school out. I guess first I wasn't thinking of that, but that can certainly happen. But also middle school has gotten lost in here.
When we went from secondary to high school.
Yeah. So we just want to say early childhood through high school instead.
Early childhood through high school?
That's what we set up above, I think.
Right.
Isn't that what we set up above?
Mm-hmm. That's what we said in the single subject.
You okay with that, or do you want to call them all out?
That's good. Okay. Early childhood through high school. I was afraid we were leaving out.
Yeah. On line 18, can we say to be used to support, just because it sounds like the money is acting and the money's really not acting. Are we on a page? Did we get down to a page?
One page.
Good work.
Madam Chair, it looks like you've got it on one page. I didn't think this was doable. But.
Yeah, well, we'll see how small the font is when we lay out the ballot.
And I think you need a space after the semicolon on 18.
Yeah, and not a space before it.
All right, I'm going to try to read it, and then we can see if things pop out that don't make sense. So, state taxes shall be increased $1.7 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to public preschool through high school public education, and in connection therewith creating an exception to the single rate state income tax if the... if the revenue, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Madam Chair, maybe you could say something like for revenue dedicated.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be. So there's no if about
it passes. Yeah. Right.
But it's only an exception for that revenue.
The constitutional provision allows it for this purpose and this purpose only.
Right.
So I think
for the purpose
to collect revenue that is dedicated.
Creating an exception.
collect or generate?
I think four, I mean.
For revenue.
It's an exception for that revenue that is collected. I mean, that's what you do with revenue. I don't know.
Do we need a that after revenue then?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start over because that was a bumpy start. State taxes shall be increased $1.7 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education and in connection therewith creating an exception to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing state income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000. And increasing to 3.87% for income above $550,000, increasing the corporate income tax rate by 1.37%, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited into a dedicated public education fund and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years. Mr. Ramey, maybe if you think of other shortening techniques, you can file a motion for rehearing.
Preliminarily, and I've been consulting a little bit, I think that's very nicely reworded measure.
Yeah, it's just
reworded title.
The voter fatigue in reading a question like that is high. So, all right. Anybody have anything else on this?
Did the board move and accept the changes?
No, not yet. Because I don't know, or if we're done. Does someone want to move the changes that we've made and then we'll see if there's anything else?
So moved.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Is there anything else anybody has? No? All right. All right. Then I think that takes us to the next agenda item, which is funding initiative 2017-2018 number 87, funding for public schools. Mr. Ramey.
This measure is virtually identical to the one that we just did, except that the tax increment brackets for individuals, estates, and trusts are a bit different. Otherwise, it's identical, the same provisions that we removed to avoid single subject issues with regard to measures that we discussed previously with the board have been made here. It's virtually identical measure, and frankly, if the board is disposed to set a title, I think you could mimic the one you just did, but change the percentages on the brackets.
All right, then let me ask you this. Is it your intent to only circulate one title out of this group that
yes.
we have today?
Yeah.
Okay. When I say circulate, I mean
the petition. Yeah.
You won't start one and wait for the court and then start another one.
Like that is
you
not
will
our
only
intent.
Circulate one.
That is our intention.
One
of the proponents just knocked on wood.
Yeah, no, I mean, that matters because we have to set every question as though everything was going to circulate unless we know that, and then we have to make sure that each question is distinguished from the last in a way that the voters can. You know what I'm saying?
I can't, I can't imagine a situation where among the
packet of measures that we presented today that are before the title board today that more than one of these measures would ever be in circulation?
Well, I mean, the scenario that we had was where a number of measures went up that were very similar. And the not favorite came back first. And because of the timing, they had to start circulating. So they started circulating their not favorite. And then the favorite came back. And so then they were circulating the favorite at the same time that they were circulating the not favorite because of the timing of the petition process. And they wanted to make sure they were going to get the threshold on the favorite. So it just gets really messy for us as a board when that happens, because those questions that we set, we relied upon the proponents saying we were only going to circulate one, and then the questions were exactly the same. But there were nuances in the language that we didn't point out in the questions.
Well, I think, Madam Chair, first of all, I would hope we don't get into that situation. It's certainly not the intent. Secondly, the nuances are very specific here because the measures are worded, I mean, absolutely identically.
Right. As long as the nuances get into the question.
Yeah.
The problem we had last time was the nuances were not something that would have been central to the voters. So they weren't in the title.
We don't have that issue here. The nuances here are the variations in the tax brackets. And as we go along, we're going to see a few that do not have the corporate tax, which we would take out. And we do have Gallagher provisions that appear, and they're certainly material enough to be addressed in the titles. There's nothing else in here.
Okay.
That should pose that problem.
Is there anybody here, anybody else who wishes to speak on single subject? All right. Then... somebody like to make that motion?
I move that the title setting board finds that initiative 2017-2018 number 87 is a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set the title.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I'll move under CRS 1-40-10635 that this measure does not only repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution. Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Okay, so that takes us to title. And so what do we need to change?
So what's currently on the board is the title as adopted for number 86, reflecting what I believe the changes are between 86 and 87. So the tax increase has been changed from $1.7 billion to $1.6 billion. The tax brackets have been changed slightly, and the income has been changed from $550,000 to $500,000. I've adopted those changes on this proposed draft already.
So Mr. Ward, may I just ask, I mean, I was darting back and forth there. The changes with regard to the tax brackets you've already incorporated in here?
Line 7.
Assuming that I have captured them correctly. Yes.
Yes. So while you're checking it, I'll read it, and then maybe that'll move us along. State taxes shall be increased $1.6 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education and connection therewith, creating an exemption to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates, using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000 and increasing to 3.62% for income above $500,000, increasing the corporate income tax rate by 1.37%, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as a voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood through high school public education programs on an equitable basis throughout the state, without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary, a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years. What do you think, Mr. Ramey?
We're quibbling. You can probably overhear, Madam Chair. We're quibbling about the awkward wording of the phrase that we just changed at 86. Can I raise it?
Sure.
And we can do what we want.
I mean, you can come back for a rehearing. You know, we're okay.
Creating, I'm on lines 4 and 5. Creating an exception to the single rate state income tax.
The only one
for revenue that is dedicated to the.
No one else is reading it. It's fine.
Can I understand your concern? Is that you're saying that your concern is that single rate state income tax for revenue dedicated to funding works, creating an exception to all of that.
It can be read that way.
What if we said instead of revenue for a tax increase or for a tax increment, that is? I actually don't think people would read it that way, but since there isn't a single rate state income tax for revenue dedicated to funding of public schools, since that doesn't exist,
right.
I'm not sure people would read it that way.
Well, you want to think about it, and if you think it's...
Well, think about it. That'd be a small change.
Run some grammar checks through it.
See what Miss Grammar thinks.
Let us know next time.
Okay. All right.
Okay, then can I get a motion to adopt the changes?
I move that we adopt the changes as displayed on the screen, the changes to the staff draft as displayed on the screen and read into the record.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That takes us to 2017-2018, number 88. Mr. Ramey.
Oh, 88 is again identical to 86 in terms of the income tax increments, the brackets and the percentages. The only other marked exception or difference with 88 is that it does not contain the corporate income tax increment, which would have appeared in section, in what would have been section 5. And of course, the number is going to change again. Top.
All right. While Steve's making those changes, someone want to make single subject?
I move that the proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 88, is a single subject and the title board has jurisdiction in set title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I'll move that under CRS 140-106-3.5, this measure does not only repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right. How about I read it and you double check us? All right. State taxes shall be increased $1.6 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education and in connection therewith, creating an exemption to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000 and increasing to 3.87% for income above $550,000, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law, requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years. Think we're good? All right,
we're
someone
good.
Want to move the changes?
I move that we accept the changes to the staff draft in the title for Initiative 2017-2018, number 88.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That takes us to proposed Initiative 2017-2018, number 89, Mr. Ramey.
Number 89, Madam Chair, is just like 87, except that it does not have the corporate tax incremental increase. And the tax increase number at the top will be different.
Okay.
$1.4 billion.
Okay. All right. Well, while he makes the changes, how about we do single subject?
I move that Initiative 2017-2018, number 89, is a single subject, and the board has jurisdiction to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I will move under CRS 1-40-106 3.5 that the measure is not only a repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm contemplating what's worse, Mr. Ramey, when people bring them all at one time or when they just keep coming back again and again.
I hope this is easier.
It is. It's a little less variety.
So, Mr. Ramey, you mentioned the changes. I've got the revenue change noted, the lack of the corporate income tax rate. Were there other changes between this and 87, or were those the two changes?
That's it.
All right, let me read it then. State taxes shall be increased $1.4 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education, and in connection therewith creating an exemption to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates, using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000 and increasing by 3.62% for income above $500,000, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to the school districts to support early childhood through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years.
I move that we accept this changes to the staff draft as displayed on the screen and read into the record and set the title for Initiative 2017-2018, number 89.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That takes us to proposed Initiative 2017-2018, number 90, funding for public schools. Mr. Ramey.
Madam Chair, the 90 through 93 involve one other additional concept. We're going to be dealing with the brackets again and the corporate tax. Actually, I think the corporate tax is probably present in all of these. So we'll just be dealing with the change in the brackets again. Otherwise, they're identical with one exception, and that's the provision that appears in Section 2 of each of these measures, and Measure 90 in particular, dealing with the Gallagher Amendment in Section 3 of Article 10. The language, I'll just stop right there. What it does, what 90 in particular, is freezes the residential assessment rates, the residential assessment rate leaves the rest of Gallagher alone. I've got some suggestions regarding the title, but I guess the first question would be the single subject and the constitutional measure. We would certainly stipulate that this is a constitutional amendment, not just a strikeout.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have any questions?
Educational purposes, right.
On single subject? No. Someone make a motion on that?
I move that we find proposed initiative 1718 number 90 to be a single subject and that the board has jurisdiction to set the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I'll move that under CRS 140-106-35, this measure does not only repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So what would we start with on title?
Well, first, the number, I think, is $1.7 billion on this.
But, I mean, which one from our prior number 86?
Starting with 90.
Yeah, but what do you go back to? I guess
I'm asking. With the exception of the changes that you mentioned
earlier.
Which
one are we going back to?
Does this track best with 86?
It tracks best with 86, yeah. Yes. Good question.
And he asked it more directly.
He's got the 86 brackets and the presence of the corporate.
So what appears on the board right now is the title as set for number 86. So what we need to do is...
We need to... The money, the impact is the same, right? We're going to do something about the Gallagher freeze.
Add some.
Okay.
So my thought about the Gallagher, let me sort of put this out. It is... certainly of importance and appears right at the top of the title in that that's how it appears in the measure, where we address the constitutional provisions first and in order. In the grand scheme of what this measure does in terms of imposing income tax increments and creating the fund and specifying the purposes, the freezing of the Gallagher rate is, I would suggest to the board, of not the primary significant lead-off point of this measure. And suggestion would be just to move it. I'm not sure there's anything wrong with the language there at all. But to move it down to, if I can find where the language exists now, used to be line 12, but it's moved.
I think you'd put it after the... The corporate income tax rate, right?
Creating the...
Because you want it before we allow the state to retain and spend it all.
Let me see where your board's putting it. It might be as good a place.
Well, he's just
the first
sticking
clause
it, yeah.
Following in connection therewith, but we can move it anywhere. I just
so
want to get
I was
it type,
thinking.
So
is
that... Oh,
yeah. That's. Yeah, I was thinking we put it at the after the semicolon in 9 after 1.37. I don't know.
Line 8 now, after the semicolon.
Now it's 8.
Yeah.
Anyone have any comments on the Gallagher language?
I think it's fine.
No, it's good.
Then I'm going to read it, and then we can see where we're going to go from there. State taxes shall be increased $1.7 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education and in connection therewith creating an exemption to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using four tax brackets starting at 3.7%, 0.37%. 3.87% for income above 150,000 and increasing to 3.87% for income above 550,000, increasing the corporate income tax rate by 1.37%, freezing the residential assessment rate at the current rate of 7.2% for school district property taxes, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund, and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria. Until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years.
Move the changes.
I move that we accept the staff changes as displayed on the screen and as read into the record for proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 90, and that we set the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 91. Mr. Ramey, what is this one going back to?
This 87. Yes.
Okay.
It would have the same brackets as 87. The corporate tax is present as in 87. And it contains the identical Gallagher residential assessment rate freeze we just discussed with regard to 90. Okay. And the number.
Tax increase is
$1.6
billion. All right. Someone want to do a single subject?
I move that initiative 2017-2018 number 91 is a single subject, and the board has a jurisdiction to set the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I will move under CRS 140-106 3.5 that this measure is not only a repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And 3.7. Should be 6.2. 3.62. And
all right, I'll read it. State taxes shall be increased $1.6 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education, and in connection therewith creating an exemption to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000 and increasing to 3.62% for income above $500,000, increasing the corporate income tax rate by 1.37%, freezing the residential assessment rate at the current rate of 7.2% for school district property taxes, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund, and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria. Until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years.
I move that we accept the changes to the staff draft as they appear on the screen as were read into the record, and we set the title for initiative 2017-2018 number 91.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 92. Mr. Ramey.
Madam Chair, 92 should be identical to 90 with the exception of the language of the Gallagher piece, in which case what we're doing here is freezing both the residential rate and the non-residential rate with specified exceptions at a level lower than they are today. And we may have to tinker with the language of that phrase a bit. And I'll certainly suggest that it be moved as it was in the other measures, but that language will read a little bit differently here. Otherwise, the measure should be identical. And
to what?
Identical to 90. I'm sorry, to 90.
Subject? Yep.
I move that proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 92 is a single subject and that the board has jurisdiction to set the title.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I will move that pursuant to CRS 14106.3.5 that this measure does not only repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So what do you think of the staff draft language about reducing, Mr. Ramey? Because we would just put that wherever we
I
have
see
it
that,
now on.
Yeah, Mr. Ward has moved the language, I think, to the right place.
To put in the language the staff draft for 92. Instead of freezing?
The staff draft says reducing residential assessment rate from 7.2 to 7.0 and non-residential assessment rate from 29 to 24%. That is correct. I guess I'm struggling with two points. Number one is that with regard to the non-residential assessment rate, going to 24% is in our measure, except as otherwise set forth in Section 1B1 of this section with regard to producing mines and lands or leaseholds producing oil and gas. I'm not sure how critical that is, because they are treated separately under the main Gallagher provision, oil and gas lands, than other non-residential property. And I suppose that should be reflected in that language in some fashion.
Well, we could say the non-residential assessment rate's currently set at 29%. Not currently set at 29%.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the difficulty. The non-residential assessment rate is set at 29%, except
right
with regard to oil and gas. And I don't know how important it is to say that.
But I think, though, if you put in, like you were suggesting, that currently it shows that we're just reducing the 29 and whatever it applies to.
Yeah.
We're not changing it.
The ones that are currently 29 will go to 24. Right. The ones that currently aren't 29, something else will happen.
If we can say that, I think that does it. I think that's accurate.
I mean, yeah.
Reducing the non-residential assessment rate.
Currently set at 29% to.
Yeah. That, what you're suggesting right now, Madam Chair, I think is going to get us there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
All right, wait a second. No. This one should be 550. This is number 92.
Are we certain of that? Because the staff draft I see here says 500,000. That could be an error in the staff draft.
An error. It should be 550. To make them parallel, could we say reducing the current residential assessment rate of 7.2% to 7.0% and the current non-residential assessment rate of 29% to 24%?
I think that would even be more accurate, Ms. Pellegrin. I would endorse that.
And then put current in front of residential and non-residential. No, current should be in front of residential. The current residential assessment rate? Yeah. There we go.
I guess one of the proponents is raising the issue, and I don't know the answer to, is if the rates were to change before the election. Is current the best word to use, or should we say from 2017 rates or something, so it's clear? And frankly, I don't know when this Pellegrin probably change, does, when the rates change.
It'll be current, right?
But it won't be 7.2 anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
That's from whatever they...
Nine. But,
yeah. Does it change between now and then?
It should.
Is it? I'm looking at our fiscal note, people. Are we expecting? There's no change this year?
No, next year, 2018.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think that'd be helpful.
But I didn't know if there's some way they could, if there's a special reason that they would do it.
Right. I don't think so, but.
Hi, for the record, Natalie Mills, Fiscal Director at Legislative Council staff. If the residential assessment rate were to change, it would not change until property tax year 2019, which is when this becomes effective, so it is relevant.
So it'll still be current 7.2% in November of 2018?
Well, that depends on what the Gallagher formula does. We did just release a forecast last month that anticipated it to change, but that is, again, just a forecast. The fiscal note that you have in front of you shows the change that we think in local will happen in local property taxes relative to our forecast for the residential assessment rate in property tax year 2019. Again, not current law yet, because the legislature has said in statute that the residential assessment rate is 7.2% until it changes. But we do expect it to change in fall in property tax year 2019.
Right, but would we anticipate a statutory change during the 2018 legislative session?
No. I'm sorry, I'm not going through the chair. Forgive me.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah. It sounds like, Mr. Ramey, your question will be on, you're going for November, right?
Current as of November. I get
yeah. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, we're fine. Okay.
I think I just heard the answer, which I didn't know until,
yeah.
until I heard it. But we're probably okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
So the other, maybe we address the other purposes. Both school, property taxes, rates. I think that captures it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read it and then.
It's 550.
No, this one should be. Shouldn't it? I don't know. Yeah, 92 is 550.
Yeah.
93 is 500.
Yeah, it is.
State taxes shall be increased $1.7 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education and in connection therewith, creating an exception to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000 and increasing to 3.87% for income above $550,000, increasing the corporate income tax rate by 1.37% for purposes of school district property taxes, reducing the current residential assessment rate of 7.2% to 7.0% and the current non-residential assessment rate of 29% to 24%, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public fund, public education fund, and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as voter-approved revenue changes, requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood education through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise, when necessary, a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law, requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years.
I move that we accept this changes to the staff draft as displayed on the screen and read into the record and set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 92.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 93, Mr. Ramey.
Madam Chair, 93, and for Mr. Ward's benefit, would track 91 in terms of the title. It's otherwise, it's identical, except that the Gallagher language that we've been discussing would be similar to, or probably identical to 92. Everything else would be identical to 91.
All right. Single subject.
I move that proposed initiative 2017-2018 is a single subject and that the board has court or jurisdiction to set title.
I second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 And I will move that pursuant to CRS 14106.3.5, this measure is not only a repeal in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Takes us to title. All right, I'll go ahead and read it in. State taxes shall be increased $1.6 billion annually by an amendment to the Colorado Constitution and a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning funding relating to preschool through high school public education, and in connection therewith, creating an exemption to the single rate state income tax for revenue that is dedicated to the funding of public schools, increasing income tax rates incrementally for individuals, trusts, and estates using four tax brackets starting at 0.37% for income above $150,000 and increasing to 3.62% for income above $500,000, increasing the corporate income tax rate by 1.37% for purposes of school district property taxes, reducing the current residential assessment rate of 7.2% to 7% and the current non-residential assessment rate of 29% to 24%, requiring the revenue from the income tax increases to be deposited in a dedicated public education fund and allowing the revenue collected to be retained and spent as a voter-approved revenue changes. Requiring the legislature to annually appropriate money from the fund to school districts to support early childhood through high school public educational programs on an equitable basis throughout the state without decreasing general fund appropriations, directing the legislature to enact, regularly review, and revise when necessary a new public school finance law that meets specified criteria until the legislature has enacted a new public school finance law requiring the money in the fund to be annually appropriated for specified education programs and purposes, requiring the money in the fund to be used to support only public schools, requiring general fund appropriations for public education to increase by inflation up to 5% annually, and requiring the Department of Education to commission a study of the use of the money in the fund within 5 years.
I move that we accept the changes to the staff draft as displayed on the screen and as read into the record for proposed initiative 2017-2018 number 93, and that we set the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That concludes our agenda today. The time is 12 noon. And
thank
we're adjourned.
Great job.
Keeping us on track. Yeah, I think he's back Monday.
Are you ready? Possession.